predicting the future. Now, it's one thing to, put pieces of the puzzle together and go, okay, well, A and B, you do that. We got C over here. And you can kind of, predict like, well, this will happen if you do that. If you turn the hose on and stick it in the pool, it will eventually fill with water, cause and effect, right? I mean, there's different incidents in life where you can kind of foretell what's going to happen based on the energy and momentum that's put towards something prior to it happening. But energy can be a tricky thing, especially negative energy that is out of our control and not even in the control of another human being, but just seemingly out there in the atmosphere, something that lives and lurks around us all the time and sometimes ends up influencing the living to do horrible, horrible things. Things that maybe people wouldn't do without that outside influence of negativity that comes in. But where is it coming from? Why is it coming at someone? In today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear two stories about very negative energy. A young girl seeing a dark and evil energy, a vision that she has while staying over at a friend's house. Only it's far too late to save the family from its wrath. And then a family tries to clear what seems to be a demon out of a home after living through what could only be described as something out of the movies. Stay away from negativity, my friends. And after today's episode, you will understand why. From Real Ghost Stories Online, it's EPP bonus episode number 349. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Just how much can a negative environment, negative energy, influence the living and their actions? Now, it's one thing if you're, consciously seeking it out, if you're surrounding yourself with negative people, negative actions, negative activities, things of that nature, that, that can be kind of predictive. You can kind of look at that and go, yeah, it's probably not going to lead to the best of things. But what about when you're in a house that has it there? It's just part of the spiritual foundation of the house, for lack of a better term. It's something that you can't get rid of. It came with the property. And it's oppressive. And it's making people lash out. And it's bringing on depression and anxiety. And making people turn on one another. That's what we hear about in our next story. It's discovered, incidentally, by a young girl who's there on a sleepover and visions that she has in her dreams of something very, very dark and very, very negative lurking in the house. Only in hindsight can she say, I wish I would have said something, but even if I did, would I have been listened to? Take a listen. Hi, it's Aaliyah from Utah. Recently, I've been told that my stories sound much better in writing, where I can sit down and think about the details I remember instead of trying to rattle them off the top of my head. And there's so much to talk about with this incident that even though it will be long, I want to get it all down. This is the scariest incident that I have had. Scariest that's ever happened to me, ever. Even scarier than having the encounters with a shadow man when our family friends owned the Kama's house. Like I've mentioned before, I believe that I and the whole maternal side of my family are on some levels of sensitivity to the paranormal. Some of my family members have chosen to ignore this sensitivity. Some, like myself, have embraced it, or at the least, are intrigued by the paranormal. At the time of this story, I've been about 13 to 14 years old and obsessed with paranormal or ghost hunting TV shows. Of course, At that ripe, tender age, after watching so many TV shows, I believed that I could be an amateur ghost hunter, with the added benefit of being sensitive and able to get the feelings from the spirits. It just so happened that my two childhood best friends were also super into the paranormal, ghost hunting, and one of them was experiencing paranormal activity at their house. What is a group of teenage ghost hunters supposed to do but go investigate? My friend, whom we'll call Lee, was experiencing a lot of the atypical haunted house phenomena. Doors opening and closing in the middle of the night, or when no one was home, of noises, or someone calling her name when she was the only person in the house. Objects moved to unusual places or disappeared altogether and then reappeared in the exact same place it was left the day before. The reason we thought it would be a good idea to host a hunt in Lee's house was most of the time she was home alone. It was her mom, dad, and herself that lived in the house, while her older sister would sometimes come and visit to spend the weekend. We were so interested in her house at the time because recently, Lee, her mother, and sometimes her sister, when she visited, were all starting to see things in the home as well. For one instance, Lee would be sitting on the couch in the open living room and out of the corner of her eyes, see movement between the banisters going down to the basement like someone was walking downstairs. But when she looked, no one was there, and she was the only one home. On another occasion, Lee told us about how she and her mother were sitting in the living room watching a movie late at night, and apparently both saw movement by their back French doors as they turned to watch an orb-like shape moving back and forth in front of the glass doors. Suddenly, it stopped in front of one, and the orb slowly began to change into the wispy shape of a face. When Lee's mom got up and off the couch in alarm, the face had disappeared, although her mom immediately opened the door. There was no one on the other side, and nowhere someone could have run due to the motion-triggered floodlights in their backyard. So naturally, we arranged for Lee, me, and our other friend, whom we will call Cece, to have a sleepover at Lee's house on a day when we would be in the home alone for most of the time. The day started off with us coming over to Lee's after school and immediately started playing ghost hunters. We started off our investigation by walking around her house with our little flip phones, voice memo going as we attempted EVP sessions, calling out if there was anyone there, could they speak to us, and many other questions that we had seen the professionals on TV ask. After playing the audio files, each one of us swearing, we heard whispers, quiet giggling and breathing that was not our own. Although looking back now, I'm not sure at all if we really had caught any of that evidence, if it was just our overexcitement in being a group of teenage girls. Throughout our little investigation inside the house, I kept getting this feeling of being watched. And both myself and Cece kept seeing things move out of the corner of our eyes. Eventually, we moved on to go around Lee's backyard asking the same questions that we had inside. But with us going outside, the feeling of being watched grew even more intense, as did the movement in the peripherals. Finally, it got to one point where we were walking around the corner of the shed, and I saw a little boy peeking around the far corner of the shed, but it was not like I physically saw him, or that my two friends could see him either. Much like when you refer to them as information downloads, I'd seen this little boy in my mind's eye. I still remember him very clearly. He appeared to be around 7 or 8, had a slight face with a narrow chin, little upturned button nose, dirty dish blonde hair, a light cream, maybe brown shirt, dark colored blazer, and what I would call a newspaper boy hat that matched his jacket. Suddenly, the boy looked away from us like someone had called his name and ran off to the middle of the yard where I saw an older man. Again, I saw them in my mind's eye and can still very clearly remember them to this day. The old man had a full head of neatly combed white hair and a well-trimmed but short white beard. He wore slacks or suit pants but made from older materials, a button-down shirt with a green tweed waistcoat over it. I swear it looked like these two had walked out of the early 19th century and got this feeling that the little boy was curious and the older gentleman was his grandfather and kind of was watching over him. When I told my friends what I had seen, neither one of them had seen or heard anything. After a little while of our listening back to our EVPs, Cece had started to get freaked out, so we stopped and went on to playing something else until it was time for bed. When we stayed at Lee's, we would sleep in the finished basement, which was set up with a living room. At the end of the hallway to the right of the stairs and down another hallway to the left of the stairs was a bathroom, an extra bedroom, and an unfinished utility room that the door was always locked. All three of us hated to walk up to that utility door. Lee had said that it always felt creepy to her as well. We always slept on a pull-out couch, and on this night, it happened to be Cece on the side closest to the rest of the couch where Lee was sleeping, and I slept on the side that faced the open arch to the hallway. This is where the true horror of my story happens. When I tell others this story, I can never explain this part. Whether it is a dream, a vision, astral projection, or even a case of sleep paralysis, perhaps you guys can explain. I am asleep, tossing and turning, and I turn to face the hallway and get a sense that I'm being watched. So I open my eyes, and staring at me with his face just above the mattress is a little boy I had seen earlier. Although a normal person would be startled or jump when they open their eyes to a little ghost boy several inches from their face, I did not feel any of that. The little boy put his pointer finger against his lips in the shh motion, and I got the sense I should look to the foot of the bed, which I did. Standing there was a grandfatherly gentleman, and when I looked back to the side, the boy had stood up. He told me without speaking or opening his mouth that I needed to get up. I swung my legs over the bed and arose, turning back to see if I had woken up or disturbed Cece. But what I saw was Cece still asleep, and myself still asleep as well. It appeared that my spirit had left my body. I turned back around, and now both the ghost boy and his grandfather were standing at the side of the bed in front of me. The older man, once again without speaking, neither one of them openly spoke to me, even when they were telling me things, told me to follow them. It led me down the hallway past the stairs, the bathroom, the guest bedroom, and finally stopped in front of the utility room door. But the door did not look like it did when I was awake. It had sludgy, black, almost smoke leaking out from under it, and every other crack around that door and wave upon wave of mean and vicious intent was washing over me from that door. We must have stood in front of it for hours, watching this darkness trying to seep out. The spirits that were either on the other side of me were telling me that this darkness was the little boy's father, and he was pure evil, and that he is contained, but something needs to be done because he is starting to influence the mood of the house. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to hear the rest of it and get access to all 349 bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, our archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created, you can get it. Just go to patreon.com/RealGhostStories, or go to our website, ghostpodcast.com, sign up there, choose your membership level. $5 a month gets you access to all of the extras, all of our bonus content, and a big thank you to you for doing that and signing up to help us keep our program on the air. We love giving you all this stuff every single week. Again, patreon.com/RealGhostStories or ghostpodcast.com, part two of the episode. We're going to hear more about this story and a family clearing their home of a demon after living through what can only be described as something out of the movies. Again, patreon.com/realghoststories or go to our website, ghostpodcast.com, and sign up there. Same content, two different platforms. You choose what you would like to use the best. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.